Guys, our series here is Hope Restored, and one of the central points is really simple. When it comes to building lives and restoring those relationships, this has to be a work of God. But I'll tell you this, we're called to join the work, but at the end of the day, only God can build and restore.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to Hope Restored, our verse-by-verse journey through the book of Nehemiah. Last time, we began the story by hearing the devastating report from Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, the gates were burned, and God's people were living in disgrace. As we continue, we're going to see that Nehemiah's first response to bad news was not anger, panic, or action. It was prayer. Today in Nehemiah chapter 1, 4 through 7, our message is titled, How Do You Handle Bad News? When Nehemiah hears what has happened in Jerusalem, he sits down and weeps. He mourns, fasts, and prays before God. Instead of blaming others or rushing ahead emotionally, he brings his grief honestly before the Lord. And in prayer, Nehemiah begins, not with excuses, but with confession, acknowledging both personal and national sin before a holy God. Nehemiah teaches us that spiritual rebuilding often begins with a broken heart that turns toward God instead of away from Him. The way we respond to bad news reveals where we place our trust. Pain can push us toward panic or draw us deeper into prayer. So when life brings disappointing or painful news, what is your first response? And does it move you closer to God or farther from Him? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. How do you handle bad news?
But I want to show you something else in the heart of Nehemiah, and I think it's a great application for us. You go, what? I want you to notice that Nehemiah, well, he doesn't assign blame. You go, what do you mean, Ben? Can you imagine? Hey, how are things? How are things there? Oh, they're bad. Well, you know what? It's their fault. It's their fault. That's what they, you know what? If they went to sin, listen, if Israel wouldn't have rebelled, then they wouldn't be in an insecure right now. Notice he doesn't do that. But I wonder how many times we do that. I wonder how many times it's like, well, here's what I love about Nehemiah. I love that no matter what the past was, come on, somebody, he didn't bring it up. He just cried with a broken heart. I want to be more like Nehemiah. Because I'll find reasons why you're in that position. Well, because you did. And Nehemiah doesn't do that. He's like, that's my brother. They're broken. Broken. They're hurting. Let's read it again, guys. It says, and so it was, he says, when I heard these words, they pierced more than my ears. They pierced my heart. And I sat down and I just bawled and I wept. And we could write your ugly cry. You know what ugly cry is? When the mascara comes down to here for you women, not guys, okay? When the mascara and the snot comes out and there's this ugly cry, just ugly cry. And it wasn't just for a few minutes. And he's like, okay, I'm good. No, he just mourned and mourned. Why? Because his heart broke and it filled with compassion. And it was many days that this was happening. Listen to this quote that I found. Compassion always leads you to do something. Compassion always leads you to do something. The very first thing that Nehemiah does, what does he do? He doesn't cast blame. He doesn't sit there and go, oh, he doesn't just brush it off. He doesn't cry for just a couple of minutes and be like, okay, well, I've got a good gig here. You know what he does? He begins to fast and pray. Fast and pray. He gets some really sad, sad news. And the first thing he does is pray. Is pray. Now, the prayer is laid out for us in verses 5 through 11, and these verses give us some great insight to the principle of prayer. So if you're taking note, let me give you principle number one. You go, what's this? Principle number one, how do you handle bad news? How do you handle sad news? Fast and pray. Fast and pray. I appreciate what Nehemiah does. When confronted with the report from his brother, He doesn't say he offered a single word of advice. Well, you know, go back and tell him this or go back. No, no. He didn't offer to speak to the king about the matter. He didn't make a personal resolution. You know what he did? He got on his knees before the God of heaven and prayed. And he fasted and he prayed. And he fasted and prayed. Church, you and I as believers, we're supposed to fast and pray. And it's okay if we miss a couple of meals. We think, oh no, I can't. But I can think of 1,000 different things in my life, maybe not yours, in my life that I can fast from. I'll tell you one thing that seems would be the hardest, and maybe you're with me. I don't know if I could ever fast coffee. That is a morning ritual that I've got to have my coffee in the morning. Can you imagine? The Lord says, hey, Ben, I want you to not have coffee for the next week. Huh? You would be smelling coffee in your dreams. You know that, right? I remember one time I was fasting and praying, and I'm telling you, I smelt Reese's peanut butter cups in my dream. I'm telling you, it's just powerful. You can, come on, guys, just me. You can smell a burger a mile away. Somebody's cooking a burger. You haven't eaten in 2 days. There's a burger. Somebody's barbecuing. Who didn't invite us? And we're like that. Everything sounds good when you're fasting. But that's because it's for us to die to the flesh, to hear the voice of God. Guys, our series here is Hope Restored. And one of the central points is really simple. When it comes to building lives and restoring those relationships, I believe this has to be a work of God. But I'll tell you this, we're called to join the work, but at the end of the day, only God can build and restore. What you need to know is it starts with married life. Married life, okay? Your married life is a work of God. He invites you to join in, but it's a work of God. We have to do our part. We have to do our part. Would you agree or disagree? We have to do our part. God can restore relationships. God can restore your marriage, but you have to do your part. See, we're called to join the work, and part of that work, God may call us to fast and pray. But in order to move to this point of fasting and praying, you have to have a heart of compassion. You have to have a heart of compassion. When you hear that a brother or a sister has taken a wrong path and is journeying off the deep end, you have a heart of compassion. Oh man, we got to reach out. We got to pull him, man. Ooh. We need to be weeping and mourning for broken lives, tired of living with run down walls of life. Compassion moves us to pray. Compassion moves us to pray. Now, here's what I want you to consider. For you and I, sometimes bad news is all around us. But I want you to consider Nehemiah's prayer. If you get bad news or you had sad news or whatever it might be, notice his prayer, verse 5. Let's start off with this, his view of God. Notice what he says. Here's his prayer. And I said, quote, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Now, let's stop right there, okay? The first thing I want you to see is how did Nehemiah view his God? He says, you are, O great and awesome God. Compare that to our prayer life at times. We'll get in the prayer huddle. Oh, Lord. Not Nehemiah. He says, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. I don't know if you see this, but I love that even as a cupbearer and someone who has a comfortable lifestyle, Nehemiah's God is still a great and awesome God. So here's my question. How big is your God? How big is your God? I've got to say, our God is bigger than any bad or sad news or really any of the problems we might face. The problem is, in my life, maybe yours, I'll preach to me, you guys can listen if you want to, is that there are times I don't trust God. There are times I'm like, I don't know how big God is. I know how big God is. But like I've heard it 1,000 times from family and friends, I know God can do it. Can I get an amen? I know God can do it.
Amen.
I just don't know if he'll do it for me. Yeah, that's what we think. Let me let you in on some good news. He's not going to do it for you. He does it for him because of who he is. You see, your love, his love for you doesn't change because it's not based on you. It's based on him and his love and how perfect and beautiful he is. So when somebody says he can never love you any less or love you anymore, isn't that the truth? Yeah, but I'm a mess up. He loves you. But I'm a great person. He still loves you. How big is our God? I have a problem understanding him. But you know what? He didn't call me to understand him. He called me to walk by faith. But I have a problem understanding. God, what are you doing? Tell me. Send me an email. Get something. Shoot me a text. I mean, come on, God, what are you doing? He's like, nope. And don't you hate it when he's silent? And then your problem, he works it all out. And you're like, oh, I believed it the whole time. I knew he'd work it out. That's how we are. We know how big, we know what Nehemiah does with his God, but let's see his view of the problem. You ready? Verse 6. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments and statutes nor ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. You go, Ben, what's his view of the problem? You ready? Jot this down. Really simple. It's sin. It's sin. But I want you to write next to this because it's very, very, very interesting. I find it interesting that Nehemiah doesn't make any excuses. He doesn't make any excuses. Well, Lord, the walls are down and everything's a mess. And so I'm praying to you, God, you're an awesome God. And he doesn't say, you know what the problem is, Lord? Our diapers were too tight, pinned to us too tight when we were little. And that's what makes us rebel. He doesn't, do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't make excuse. Well, we got dropped as a baby or whatever it might be. He doesn't. What does he say? He goes, man, it all started with the rebellion. It all started with the rebellion. We were worshiping these awful, ugly gods. But you know what he does? 70 years is done. What does he do? He just confesses. I love what he says. That. He says, both my father's house and I have sinned. We go, whoa, 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 stop, stop. And Nehemiah didn't sin. No, no, no. He's all part of that. It's part of the confession. He says, we have sinned against you. And I think about Nehemiah, what could you have said? Lord, they sinned against you. He didn't say that. He said, I'm part of this. Part of this. His view of the problem goes back to exactly what was happening. He tells the Lord, and I think it's a great prayer, Lord, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open. Now, we know that God is always attentive and always eyes are always open. He's a God who never sleeps or slumbers. But Nehemiah feels the need to say this. And he says, and may you hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before. Lord, hear me. Hear my prayer. He says, you know, I pray before you now, day and night. What am I praying for? The children of Israel, your servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which sinned against you. Think about this for a second. We don't have a God in heaven going, okay, once you confess, I want to hear the confession. Confession does something for us. Think about that. This is why it's more important that you say, will you please forgive me for versus I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're sorry about a lot of things. Oh, no, no, no. Will you please forgive me for knocking over your bike, for whatever it might be? It cleanses us. We're able to get that out. And here he's going, here's his confession. He's going, Lord, we've sinned against you. God already knew that. God's like, yeah, well, we've already talked all about the book of Ezra. The Babylonians have given me. I've warned you. I sent Jeremiah to you. Are you kidding me? So God's not sitting there going, I'm just a needy God with compassion. That's not what God, who God is at all. It does something for us. And he goes, Lord, I've sinned. I'm broken. We have acted corruptly against you. We haven't been obedient to you. So what's his view of God? Awesome, powerful, wonderful God, full of compassion. What's his view of the problem? It's sin. It's rebellion, Lord. Now, as we close, we land this Bible study, because there's only a few verses tonight, I want to spend some time giving you some takeaways that you can ponder throughout the week. The goal for us is to build our lives, okay? Build those areas. Like we've built our foundation with the book of Ezra. We built that foundation. We know that the enemy is going to attack the work. Okay, I get that. We went through all of Ezra. But we also want to worship God. We want to restore those things in our lives, the walls that are broken down in our lives. We want to restore those. We want to allow the Lord to restore those. But think about this. There are times in our lives when we do. We receive some bad news, but let's learn from that. Let me ask you this. What's our instinctive reaction to bad news? Whenever there's bad news, what's your go-to, your instinctive reaction? I'll tell you, number one, right away we think, well, I'll work this out on my own. Okay, I'll figure it out. You know what? I'll call so-and-so. I'll talk to so-and-so. Maybe they know. I'll do this. I'll do that. If we're being honest in church, a lot of times when we get bad news or sad news, we fall into depression. We fall into a deep depression. We're just sad. We're just broken. Or the bad news could also bring us to a place of true dependence on God again. It could bring us to a place where we're like, okay, Lord, okay, okay. True dependence, seeking him, searching for him through the word of God. Church, all we need is this. Genesis to Revelation, get in the word. This is the power of God. He moves through his word. He speaks through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God. Number two, takeaway. Let's talk compassion. Compassion. Why? Because it moves you to action. It moves you to action. When something's broken, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I'll never forget. I think it was me, Talia, Cordelia, Nathalie. We were headed somewhere, maybe to lunch. Do you remember this? We were coming out of our street many years ago. She was little. And there was a guy, it seemed like a homeless guy, walking across the street, and he tripped. And he sort of just fell on the sidewalk there. And Cordelia saw that. And Grandpa, we need to stop. We need to do something. And her heart of compassion, it was moved to, like, turn this car around. We've got to. And so I was watching, and we're sort of driving real slow, and she's practically in tears. Grandma, do something, he's hurt. Well, he gets up, you know, and he continues to walk. But that showed me something, showed me the heart of compassion. Because compassion moves you to action. When we consider the walls in our lives, how about this? Are we weeping and mourning over sin? I want to be like Nehemiah. Wow, Lord, verse 1, 2, and 3 tie in so beautifully, because when he got the news, he knew it wasn't just like, oh, well, the walls are broken. Oh, bummer. He knew where it was tied into. And when the walls are broken in our lives, church, I want to make sure it's not tied to my sin somewhere. My sin. God, how's my thought life? How's my thought life? How are things between us, Lord? You say, no, God's not calling any of one of us to be perfect. He never calls us to be perfect. But I just want to make sure that, hey, sin separates me from a close walk with God. Why would I want to do sin? Why would I want to presume upon his grace? Why would I want to go over here and go, okay, this is sin. This is God. I think I'll hang out here because I know God still loves me. We're still cool, right? We're cool, God. We're cool. Yeah, we're cool. And so, That's not the Christian. The Christian goes, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this. There's too many believers, and I'm going to paint this with a big broad brush. There's too many believers who walk so close to the line of sin instead of trying to get far away from it. And I want to be weeping and mourning for my sin. I want those walls restored. Lord, I don't want an area exposed that the enemy could come in and cause havoc and wreak havoc. I don't want that. Compassion moves you to action. Number three, building the walls, building lives, restoring relationship takes work. It takes work. Join the work with prayer. With prayer. We have gotten, we have, in our world, let me say it like this. In our world, we have adapted to just a microwavable world, haven't we? Everything is fast. Everything's fast. 3 minutes and 20 seconds. You go, what's that? Microwavable popcorn. 3 minutes, 20 seconds. You open the bag, you put it in, beep. Now some of you, you A-type personalities like, no, it's not. It's 3 minutes and I'm not, okay. You put the bag, beep, bzz, right? 3 minutes, I have time to do one. And what, you come back, you get the popcorn, it's done. Back in my day, we had the Jiffy Pop, and it was a pan, and you put it over the flame. And 1-3 minutes, you sit there, oh, you know, maybe about 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes later, you had popcorn. And if you weren't careful, it burnt. And in Joe's day, they didn't even have popcorn. I mean, this just kidding, Joe. So the point is this, it takes work, guys. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to join the work with prayer? Not just pray the 15 minutes to church, to go to work. Hey, I'm just going to pray as I go to work. But you're constantly praying without ceasing. You're joining the work. Lord, always help me. And with that, how do you view your God? Is God bigger than the boogeyman? Is he bigger than the boogeyman? Veiled reference to the VeggieTales, and you with little kids know what I'm talking about. How do you view your problem? It somebody else's fault? I was like, Lord, forgive me. So next week, guys, we're going to discover, you ready? Before we can build walls and restore gates, that you must be fully surrendered to God. Nehemiah's heart will be burdened and built way before he goes to Jerusalem. So how do you handle bad news? Pray, 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 fast. Pray. Seek the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen? Father, we thank you tonight for your word and the truth in your word, God. We thank you for your blessings of being here tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, my prayer is that we would have a heart of compassion. Lord, if there's anything going on in our hearts, Lord, our walls are broken in some area, Lord, help us to see that and to restore those, Lord. Lord, I know that Nehemiah is talking about a physical wall in Jerusalem that he's going to build, but the application for us, Lord, is that as we want to keep the enemy out and we want to worship you with pure, undeniable hearts to worship. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the book of Nehemiah. We're excited for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
Next time in Hope Restored, we'll continue through Nehemiah's prayer and discover what happens when faith begins asking God for something bigger. As the burden grows, so does the vision. And we'll see how God prepares Nehemiah for the next steps ahead. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.